Well, good evening, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Christian Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us here, a very special welcome from the whole congregation. We'd love to see our church filled on Christmas Eve, which is a wonderful sight. It's good to see you all here. We're just going to ask as we go through the order of service, there won't be any introductions. I'll just ask all of the readers, and you know who you are, if you could come up promptly to the podium. The readings are all here on the platform. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful season, this wonderful time of Christmas, where we come together to celebrate and remember the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you fulfilled so many prophecies on that day. And we are reminded again that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And Lord, we come here tonight to gather to worship you in word and in song. Lord, we ask for your presence among us by your Holy Spirit, and guide us and direct us as we bring our worship to you this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We rejoice that our Savior has come and our names have been written in heaven. We are a people who are loved and who love in return. We will now light the love candle. God has shown his love for us that he sent his Son to be our Savior.
The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 9:2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Christ's own light has come into the world." The light of the world has shone into the darkness, and we have received the light of the world, Christ our Savior.
Okay. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 says, "The angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Come, let us worship and adore him.'"
Seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light had dawned upon them. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
We're reading from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said."
Then the angel left her.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, the shepherds and the angels. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'"
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this blessed night where you blessed us with the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Receive now from us, we pray, these our offerings of praise and worship to you. Bless them, we pray, multiply them in our hands as we use them for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're continuing in Luke, chapter 2, 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to tell them. But Mary treasured them all these things up in her heart, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as what they had been told.
Well, it's wonderful to see so many people here today. It's great. It's really good. Good music tonight, too. We've been hearing a lot in the news recently about refugees. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people now trying to leave the Middle East and the conflicts there, wanting in particular to come to Canada. They're fleeing persecution. They're just looking for a place of freedom and safety. They just want to live in peace. And there's a range of responses in our culture to this refugee tragedy. Some, many, want them welcomed, and the sooner the better, and the more the better. Other voices are saying we want them kept out. What should our response be? What does Scripture say about helping the refugee, the foreigner who needs help and just wants a safe place to live, raise a family, and work? There's lots. You may not know this, but there are lots in Scripture about helping the stranger and the foreigner and the refugee. And in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, it says, "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born." We've got to treat them like ourselves. "Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt." It's an admonition from God to the Israelite nation. And again, in Exodus, it says, "Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt." God instructed the nation of Israel to remember their own situation in earlier generations, for they too were foreigners at one time and refugees. So they're to treat others in the same way that they would like to be treated. And in Job, the plaintive book of Job, as he's arguing his case before God through 40 or more chapters of that book, Job pleads with God and he says, "No stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. My door was always open to the traveler." And what did Jesus say about welcoming the stranger? He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me." It's in Matthew's gospel. And in Galatians, Paul writes, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." So why am I talking about refugees and the plight of the refugee on this night in particular? Well, this night is about one who was a refugee. Don't think of Jesus as being a refugee here. But he was. And we're going to get to the text that explains that in a moment. His family was fleeing persecution, just like hundreds of thousands of people today are fleeing persecution and trying to get to safer countries like Canada. So our text is in Matthew's gospel. We've been reading from Luke, a traditional nativity narrative in the scriptures, but there are passages in Matthew as well that record the birth of Jesus and some of the stories around there. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. And this piece that I'm reading from is after the wise men had come. We know about the wise men and their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they come, they visited, and then they left and went home. And verse 13 says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So as fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. This is a refugee story. It's quite similar to the ones we hear in today's news. A family or an entire nation or an entire group of people have come under persecution. The country's leadership is trying to kill them, and so they flee to another country in the middle of the night. And in this story, a young husband and a young mother with baby arms is fleeing persecution. The difference in this refugee story is that this young mother has the creator of the universe in her arms. She has the Lord of Lords and God of Gods in her arms. And he is not welcome in the land of his birth. So the family in fulfillment of scripture flees to Egypt, and the scripture was in Hosea, written 740, 750 years prior to the birth of Jesus, where Hosea says, out of Egypt I have called my son. You see, when Jesus arrived, he never had any place to stay on earth. He was raised by Joseph and Mary from infancy to adulthood in Nazareth. But once he started his ministry, he had no address. He had no permanent home. He was an itinerant preacher, teacher, healer, miracle worker, who went from town to town telling the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. He was opposed all the time. Never had anywhere to stay. And again, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, it says, when the teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus replied, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I don't have an address. Follow me if you like, but I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. Not only am I a refugee returning, but I have no place to stay. And this baby Jesus then, whose birth we celebrate tonight, he came into this world poor, had no place even to be born in. He was born in a smelly stable, laid in a manger. And he was rejected and persecuted from the time of his birth. He was immediately a refugee. The world did not and would not receive him. And in John's Gospel it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He remained a refugee. Few people welcomed him, few received him. No place to lay his head, no place to call home. And tonight we celebrate his birth. And yet he still has no place on earth to call home. Except. In Revelations 3:20, it says, "Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." This is the message of Christmas. The very King of Heaven has come to earth, and there's only one place he can live on this planet. There's only one place he can call home on planet Earth, and that is in the heart of those who receive him. And those who do receive him, he returns the compliment and invites them into his eternal home. Jesus said in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." There is no place on earth for Jesus to live except in your heart. And if you receive him, he will receive you. And he offers you a place in his heart and in his eternal home for all eternity. The question is, and this is the question we have as a nation, will you welcome this refugee? Will you welcome this refugee? Will you prepare a room in your hearts for him tonight? That's the message of Christmas, and that's the question that remains at Christmas. Will you welcome him into your heart today? As the weeks and months go by now, even years, we will continue to hear of refugees looking to make Canada their home. And no doubt York Region, and Newmarket in particular maybe, will be a place where many will seek to make a home. And will you welcome them? Will you welcome them? Every time you hear a news report about a refugee, I want you to remember Jesus. It's on the news all the time now. Every time you hear that word, refugee, you know one. You know a refugee. And you could say, "I've invited him into my home, into my heart, and into my life." Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room this Christmas. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us for what we've made of this celebration, for what we've made of this time of the year, with the jingle bells and the tinsel and the lights and the noise and the clapping. Quite contrary to the original story. Forgive us, Lord, for that. But Lord, let us show us how to open our hearts to receive you anew. Lord, come and take up residence in my heart, in my home, and in my life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you go from here tonight, go in with your hearts filled with peace and joy and God's love for you. For God sent you his only Son. He so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that all who should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That is the message of Christmas. Go in peace. Merry Christmas.